In the northern hardwood forest, there's a complex of invasive root-feeding weevils. There's at least 6 species, possibly up to 9. They've been there for at least 100 years and steadily established since the late 50s. These weevils primarily feed on the understory trees and shrubs in this system, and from what we know, their distribution stretches all the way sort of along the Canadian-US border, all the way from Minnesota over to the East Coast. Adults are folivorous, feeding heavily on the foliage. The feeding is very severe and for a very short duration. They emerge very synchronously, and they're out for about 5 to 6 weeks, at which point they die. But during that time, the seedlings are especially vulnerable because their feeding is so intense on them. Larvae are then deposited in the soil as eggs, and they feed on the roots. This type of feeding intensity we're still studying, but we believe it's a much more less severe, more of a slow grazing, but it happens over a period of several months from August all the way through March and early April of the next year. The weevils, of the weevils that are up there, there's 4 that are sort of the main players. Phyllobius oblongus, the brown weevil in the corner, is the most common by far, and Polydrusa sericeus is the next most common. Cyophilus aspiratus and Berypithes pellucidus are also found really relatively regularly, but not very abundant. This is the general life cycle of all these different weevil species. If we start with the adults, they emerge in early May. Again, they feed for 5 to 6 weeks. Mate, lay eggs in the soil. Larvae are present from late July or August all the way through March of the next year. The pupation begins in late March and goes through April, and then emergence again occurs in May. One of my predecessors in the Ken Raffa lab did some studies where she looked at the abundance of weevils as part of the total community, and larvae in particular, the curculionid larvae in this system, are the dominant below-ground fauna, and of all the larvae that are present, 98% of them are invasive weevils. So there are a few native weevils here, but we rarely find them. It's a very similar pattern for the adults. Renee found in 2002 and 2003 a high percentage of the total above-ground fauna were weevils, especially the invasive weevils. And in the last 3 years, of all the invasive weevils we have found, over 99% have been these exotic species. This is an example of some of the damage that's very typical in this system. This is a picture of, I believe it's 6 sugar maple leaves on some seedlings. The damage is quite severe, and if you look closely, there's 32 weevils just in this small area. This is not sort of the worst case scenario. This is common across the entire ecosystem up there. So they are doing quite a bit of damage defoliation-wise. When I first went up there and started and I walked into the woods, it just looks like there's weevils everywhere. But when you dive into it a little more, you can see that the weevils' abundance differs depending on the weevil species and also depending on the host species of plant that they're feeding on. Some weevils initially start high on sugar maple, which is the dominant flora up there. This area is probably 85% sugar maple. Phyllobius oblongus initially comes out first, and it feeds heavily on sugar maple. As the season progresses, ironwood and raspberry have their flush, and the weevils tend to shift over to these two hosts as the sugar maple leaves sort of harden off. Polydrusa sericeus comes out a little bit later, so their feeding is more constant on sugar maple, sort of a low, consistent feeding, but they differ on the ironwood and raspberry based on the time of year. So because of this apparent shift in host utilization and host abundance, we had some research questions we wanted to examine. First of all, are ironwood and raspberry population sinks for the weevils, or do they just keep the weevils alive after the sugar maple feeding has sort of stopped? Of the 3 hosts, which one do the adults prefer? And on which host is performance the best for these weevils? And by performance, we're talking about longevity, egg production, and leaf area consumption. We did a series of tests in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. For those of you that are geographically challenged, we are on the blue star. The UP is on the yellow star. It's an area characterized by relatively short summers, long, hardy winters, and a strict dress code by the natives. The hardwood forest is comprised of just a few plants that sort of make up the bulk of everything. Sugar maple, obviously, is very prevalent. Ironwood or hophorn beam. Leatherwood, basswood, and elm are also present. And ryves and rubus are sort of the shrub species that we see up there. This is a plot of, or a photo of the field site, very typical. We've got some dominant and intermediate trees in the background, and the floor is basically a knee-high carpet of seedlings. So to answer our first question, we did two different experiments. We put out emergence traps and we did sweep net sampling. We identified plots of pretty pure maple seedlings, ironwood seedlings, and then raspberry patches. We put over 1,100 of these emergence traps out for the last 2 years, and we sweep netted for 3 years throughout the summer. In 2007, we didn't quite catch the beginning of the Phyllobius oblongus emergence, but we do see that the red lines indicate that their emergence was slightly higher on raspberry compared to ironwood and maple. Polydrusus cericius, as I mentioned, emerges a bit later, and we see that they emerge sort of in low numbers on maple, but their emergence rates were much higher on ironwood and on raspberry. In 2008, we were out there a bit earlier, so we got the first weevil, as I like to call it. One big thing to notice is the difference between abundance in these years for Polydrusus cericius. Previously, we were getting up to 10 weevils per meter squared. This year, we barely found any, and we're not sure what is going on here. Phyllobius oblongus, however, had pretty stable emergence on all three species, but you can see on raspberry, the emergence time was a bit longer compared to the maple and ironwood, where there was a sharp peak, and then it dropped off fairly rapidly. Our sweep netting indicated two main things. The first thing is that overall, you can tell Phyllobius oblongus is much more common than Polydrusus. The second thing you can also see, in 2008, we had a very severe winter in the UP, and spring emergence for both the weevils and the trees flushing was about 3 weeks later. This is indicated by the bottom graph here. You can also see that in 2008 we had many more weevils compared with 06 and 07, and we suspect this is because of the large snowpack we got in the winter of 07-08. So the next study we wanted to do is look at which host these weevils prefer. We did a simple choice test using leaf discs and maple, ironwood, and raspberry foliage, 48-hour test in petri dishes. And we found that both weevil species preferred ironwood when given a choice. And finally, on which host is performance the best, we did another similar petri dish assays where we put weevils in with one particular type of foliage. We let the pair of weevils go until they died, and we recorded total egg production, longevity, and leaf area consumed. Egg production was relatively low overall with Phyllobius oblongus, much higher in Polydrusus cericius, but in both cases, sugar maple was actually the least preferred for egg production. Longevity was unaffected, did not affect Phyllobius. Sorry, Phyllobius longevity was not affected by host. They lived about the same on all three of the hosts. However, Polydrusus cericius did live longer on ironwood and on raspberry. And finally, consumption was higher on ironwood in both weevil species compared to maple and compared to raspberry. So in conclusion, weevil emergence differed among host plant, and this leads us to the question, are they simply emerging on this host plant and then staying there and feeding? Are they emerging and then moving? Because we did get different abundances based on our emergence and our sweep net sampling. Ironwood and raspberry appear to be more favorable hosts for the weevils, even though they're a much smaller component of the total flora. And we're trying to investigate whether or not the larvae respond similarly as the adults do. Raspberry and ironwood are disturbance-friendly species, meaning they like to inhabit edges of roads and man-made or natural gaps. And the synchrony between adult weevils and hosts can vary from year to year, and this has great effects on abundance, and it also leads to the question of whether Phyllobia sublongus's numerical dominance is because of greater plasticity and able to utilize sort of whatever host is there at the time. Just to summarize, the red arrows were our field study, the orange arrows are our laboratory studies. They emerge from both species. Early on, they tend to go to from the ironwood and raspberry over to maple. After they fed on maple, they move back here. They both feed on both hosts, but feeding is heavier here, oviposition heavier here, and then larval development is sort of the black box we're still working on. And with that, thank you, and I'll take any questions.
Okay. The dynamics of this system, they seem to be invasive species that have been around for a relatively long period of time and exist in some sort of stable relationship with the plant community. Is there any evidence that they resulted in the extinction of some species or altered the species composition in this ecosystem? And if not, are there, I mean, do you speculate that there might be factors, whether it's climate change or other anthropogenic factors that might alter that balance to where they would have a more noticeable effect?
Right. Bill Mattson and I have talked about this quite a bit.
Can you try to repeat the
question? Oh, the question basically was, The question was that if these weevils have been established a long time, and are there any factors to indicate that maybe they've displaced species or changed the native flora, and if so, how might global warming or some other anthropogenic factors affect that?
Nice work.
Thank you. Bill and I have talked about this a lot. We do think they've probably displaced native species, just because to imagine this system without this fauna seems implausible. And the fact that we do find very few native species does suggest that probably at one time there was a native guild that, you know, fulfilled this role. You know, we've talked about it'd be nice to go back through old collections in some of the north central areas, see if you could detect a change in relative abundance of invasive weevils versus native weevils in the collections. You know, that's a whole another project in itself. As far as the anthropogenic factors, yeah, I think, you know, anytime you go and our current management practices, you know, involve building logging roads and that sort of thing, and that's prime habitat for these raspberries to grow. Raspberry seems to be sort of the thing they perform the best on, so it suggests that where there's more raspberry, you may get increased oviposition rates by these weevils, which could then, you know, lead back to increased overall populations.
Thank you.
Okay.